Welcome to another edition of the Volunteer State. I'm Blake Topmeyer alongside the indefatigable John Adams, who's coming to us from vacation. So thanks for joining us, John, interrupting your vacation to do this all-important podcast episode.
No problem. Anything for this podcast. I look at our listeners as part of my family, and I don't want to let them down.
Well, we also have some important news to discuss. I know you are always available when breaking news happens. Reports coming out today on Monday as we record this that Michigan quarterback transfer Joe Milton is expected to sign with Tennessee as a transfer. Tennessee has not announced that signing yet, not official, but signs point toward Milton becoming a Vol. He would have 2 years of eligibility, was a junior last year, but of course the 2020 season did not count against anybody's eligibility. So if this does indeed reach the finish line and Milton joins the Vols, like I said, 2 years of eligibility, and with the NCAA's recently approved transfer rule, he would have immediate eligibility without needing a waiver. So he could play in 2021 for Tennessee. John, what do you think this does for Tennessee's quarterback competition if Joe Milton joins the fold this summer?
Well, it makes it even more crowded, and it's a bit puzzling. It tells me that maybe Josh Heupel and his staff aren't enamored with their current foursome they have at quarterback. I mean, Joe Milton at Michigan, how excited can you be about getting a quarterback from Michigan? Last time I checked that, nobody confused the Wolverines offense with Oklahoma's or Alabama's. Guy's got a big arm. I watch video of him. He's got a big arm, 4-star coming out of high school, but really hadn't done that much at Michigan. So it just tells me that Josh Heupel is saying, well, maybe we can get a little better here at the quarterback position, because surely they encouraged him to commit to Tennessee. I mean, what? It's not as if he called him and said, hey, I'm thinking about transferring, and they said, no, we're good. We got 4 guys here. We're fine. Obviously, they encouraged him. So it was very puzzling to me to read that.
You know, someone asked me, John, a couple weeks ago on a radio show if I expected Tennessee to add a transfer quarterback. And I said that I was leaning toward no. I didn't think they would, because I think you only add someone if you think they're going to make a difference in your quarterback competition. You know, don't just add somebody to add somebody. You have 4 scholarship quarterbacks here. It's not like you don't have anybody to choose from. So only add someone if you thought they made a real difference maker, and I didn't think Tennessee would be able to do that. So I'm not sure where I'm wrong there. Like, is Joe Milton a difference maker, or did Tennessee, you know, was I wrong and Tennessee decided to add someone that really doesn't make a big difference in the quarterback competition? Because the way I look at this is, like, Joe Milton is an extra body. You know, I guess more competition is all the better ultimately, but for the most part, I don't really see him, you know, stepping in there and being the guy at quarterback. I still think Hendon Hooker has the best shot. And I'm not sure with Milton coming in the summer, you know, how good his chance even is of winning the backup job, because he's behind the pace now and learning Josh Heupel's offense.
One of the things I thought of when I read this was maybe he meant to say he was transferring to Tennessee State instead of Tennessee. I don't get this, but look, if Josh Heupel, he knows what he wants in his quarterback. So he obviously saw something in Milton that he liked. My guess is he recruited him to Central Florida out of high school, didn't get him. He went to Michigan, and maybe he looks at him as the one that got away, and he sees this great potential in him, and he thinks, I can develop that guy. That's the only thing I can think of with this.
And I do give Josh Heupel credit for, if he looks at this quarterback room and he's nearing the end of spring practice here and he sees a room that he thinks cannot help Tennessee succeed in this 2021 season, then go out and get somebody. So if that's the case, if he looks at these quarterbacks and thinks, I don't think we have our guy here, then go do something about it. Don't just resign yourself to your fate. You know, I thought, you know, we've discussed at length on this podcast that, that one of Jeremy Pruitt's top failings in his tenure here was an inability to recruit and develop high-level quarterbacks. You know, he inherited Jarrett Garantano from Butch Jones, and you know, despite the guys that he brought in, whether via transfer as a Keller Christ or recruiting, nobody could ever really unseat Jarrett Garantano for 3 years, and he ultimately was fired, not just because of quarterback failures, but that I think had a hand in Jeremy Pruitt no longer being the coach here. And he, you know, he placed his bet on the guy he inherited from the previous coach. So if Josh Heupel doesn't like the talent that he inherited or doesn't think it's enough to succeed at quarterback, then go out and get somebody. I mean, Joe Milton on paper, you know, the numbers don't dazzle you. Certainly, as you've said, big arm, no doubt. He's mobile, can move. Maybe Josh Heupel's seeing something there that, that we're not seeing. Because, I have to come back to, I think you only add a quarterback to this competition if he's someone that you really think can help you. Because this isn't like, you know, in Jeremy Pruitt's first season, he needed to add a transfer just for depth. He had Garantano and JT Shrout, and that was it. And so he added Keller Christ, and Christ was someone who I thought could contend for the starting job, didn't win it, but was a veteran with starting experience, and he just needed someone for depth, too. You need at least three quarterbacks to navigate a season. But Tennessee doesn't just need an extra body for depth, so that tells me that Josh Heupel thinks this guy can help him.
Well, what to really underscore this, as you mentioned earlier, these guys, the other guys have been through spring training. Obviously, freshman Kadon Salter hasn't. He's been suspended. But the other three guys have learned this new offense, and you've watched them all spring, and you're still saying, no, I think I need somebody else. That, to me, speaks volumes. So, to me, you're bringing in a guy you think can win the job. You're not pleased with what you've seen. If you're pleased, why use a scholarship on a quarterback? If you think the number one guy out of this group is in fact your guy, the other guys can certainly provide depth, so there's no point in adding anybody. This tells me he sees this quarterback is still a problem, and he's trying to rectify it with bringing in another transfer.
When I went to Tennessee's open practice a little over a week ago, John, the quarterback depth chart in that open practice was Hendon Hooker number one, Brian Maurer number two, and Harrison Bailey number three. Now, that was one open practice. We're going to learn more about the quarterbacks and the quarterback depth chart Tennessee's spring game on Saturday. But that was the pecking order at that time. Hooker, then Maurer, then Bailey. And of course, as you mentioned, the four-star freshman early enrollee, Kadon Salter, has not practiced all spring. He's serving in an indefinite suspension. And so I do wonder, if Joe Milton joins the fold, you're now going to have five scholarship quarterbacks. Five feels like a crowd at quarterback. I don't think you see many Power Five football teams going through, or any Division One football teams going through a season with five scholarship quarterbacks. You know, guys usually head for the portal when they see a five-man competition, and if they're not in the top couple in that order. And so what I wonder out of this is, John, if Joe Milton is coming in, does that mean someone is heading out? What do you think? Do you think if Milton comes in, Tennessee will make it to the 2021 starting line with five quarterbacks? Or do you think if Milton's in, that means someone's going to head for the transfer portal?
Well, that's a really good point. It makes you think someone might be leaving. But do you leave at this point when you've just gone through spring practice? Somebody like Harrison Bailey, it's kind of forgotten now. He's been here a while. He started three games at the end of the year as a freshman. This was really a high-impact Tennessee signee under Jeremy Pruitt. It was a big-time signee. They beat out a lot of schools for him. And now it makes you wonder if he's not taking charge now and he's not the number one guy, maybe he would be the one to leave. Maybe this offense doesn't suit him. I think Brian Maurer is going to be here for 50 years. He's just everything points to his transferring, yet he continues to stay. He just wants to be a Vol for life, I think. So he's not leaving based on what we've learned so far. So Harrison Bailey would be, don't you think Harrison Bailey would be the guy most likely to transfer? Hendon Hooker just got here. I can't imagine.
And is atop the depth chart.
So why would he leave now? Hooker, that is.
Right. Yeah, I think if you look at the pecking order, at least based on the way things were earlier this month, and again, we'll get a better indication, I think, in the spring game Saturday. But if Bailey exits the spring third on the depth chart, based on that alone, and I can't speak to how happy he is or isn't at Tennessee, whether he likes this new coaching staff or not. I don't know. I haven't heard from him. We haven't heard from any quarterbacks this spring. That's usually the way it goes in spring football, is coaches don't often make their quarterbacks available to talk to the media. So the best you can do is apply some analysis and try to read between the lines. And yes, I mean, my thinking is, if you're sitting third on a depth chart and you are a guy, I think, that still has a lot of promise in your career in Harrison Bailey, like you said, former highly touted recruit. Tennessee actually had to outduel Michigan to get Harrison Bailey. So how about that? They add the Michigan transfer and Joe Milton. And the reason Harrison Bailey is here is because he opted for Tennessee over Michigan. So that's kind of interesting. But, you know, all these quarterbacks in the room right now, even the freshman, Caden Salter, all of them were recruited by Jeremy Pruitt, you know, in the graduate transfer, Hendon Hooker as well. He signed in January while Jeremy Pruitt was still the coach. So they were either recruited by Pruitt or members of Pruitt's coaching staff, none of whom are here. And so with Bailey, you know, last season was a free year of eligibility for everybody. He's still a freshman. And with the NCAA's transfer rule that they approved, he could transfer, play immediately in 2021 as a freshman somewhere else. And so you do wonder if that might be kind of tempting. And, you know, as to why someone would stay for the spring and then transfer in the summer, I think you give it a shot with the new staff, see where you land on the depth chart. And then also you're kind of buying time to make sure that the NCAA approves that rule change to the transfer rule, allowing immediate eligibility. That's happened. And so, you know, if you were having doubts before about transferring, but if you come out of the spring third on the depth chart, then, you know, maybe you're looking for opportunities elsewhere. And I guess I'm sure that's something that Josh Heupel has in mind, too, one way or the other. Like, even if they don't add a transfer, if you come out of the spring third on the depth chart at any program, I think it's tempting to transfer. But I would think he knows if he brings in a quarterback as a transfer, then that probably increases the chances that one of his current guys is going to head for other options. And that tells me that Josh Heupel's thinking is, if it comes to that, so be it.
He doesn't care. He's looking for a quarterback upgrade. One of the things that's interesting to me about the Milton transfer, he doesn't really fit the profile of the quarterbacks I've seen at Central Florida in this offense, first under Scott Frost and then under Josh Heupel. To me, they're very mobile guys. He has some mobility, but he's 6'5", 245. I mean, he's not going to be darting around the pocket super quick. When I think of what a UCF quarterback would be in this offense, a guy who can process information very quickly and make the right reads, do the run-pass option, be very comfortable with that, can run when needs to, but is not necessarily a running quarterback. Who's our quarterback last year? Dylan Gabriel was outstanding, I thought. Too bad Tennessee couldn't get him to transfer. He'd win the job. You wouldn't need a Michigan transfer if he transferred. And his predecessor that was injured, Mackenzie Milton, I think went to Florida State. Same type guy. Very mobile. Very good on the run-pass option, very good at processing information quickly. So that tells me that that Josh Heupel sees something in the Michigan transfer, that he thinks he can do these things. Otherwise, why encourage this transfer? So That's my thinking on it.
Looking at Milton's numbers coming off last season, John, last year he appeared in six games, completed just shy of 57% of his passes. He did have two 300-yard games, had a 300-yard game against Michigan State, had a 300-yard game against Indiana. But toward the end of the season, he had some of his worst performances. He struggled against Wisconsin. He struggled against Rutgers. His touchdown-to-interception ratio overall for the season was four touchdowns, four interceptions. I mean, so oftentimes, I think, you know, as a fan base, the grass often looks greener on the other side. So the idea of bringing in a transfer, especially, you know, someone who has the four-star recruiting ranking, is coming from a big-time program in Michigan, I think that's exciting. You're thinking about the possibility there. But when you look at the numbers, you know, those numbers to me aren't any better really than what Tennessee had at its quarterback position last year. And in some ways, I think they're worse. But as you said, the physical tools, you could make the argument that he does have some exciting physical tools. He's got good size. He has the big arm, et cetera. And we know that Josh Heupel does like all those things that you mentioned, the ability to run the RPOs, process information quickly, et cetera. But he also likes a guy that can throw a really good deep ball. I mean, you think about what Drew Locke did at Missouri. I think while Locke was in the SEC, he probably threw the best deep ball of any quarterbacks in the SEC. So, you know, I do think that arm strength, that ability to stretch the field is one thing that appeals to Josh Heupel, and maybe he thinks he needed to go out and get somebody that can do that a little better than what he had.
Perhaps that's the case, but again, the number that really sticks out to me, you mentioned the interception touchdown ratio, and that's based on small numbers, but completion percentage, 56%. I don't see guys in Josh Heupel's offense completing just 56% of their passes. The offense is not going to roll with that. So that would be the number that jumps out at me. And admittedly, I don't know what Michigan's receiving corps was like. I just saw snippets of Michigan. Who would want to watch Michigan play last year? So I have no idea. Again, though, it gets back to Josh Heupel. He knows more so than any other position, he knows what he wants at this position. And if he thinks this could be his quarterback, then, you know, I yield to his expertise.
John, moving past the expected transfer of Joe Milton to Tennessee, to add to that quarterback room, let's touch on the spring game coming up Saturday just briefly here as we close. Tennessee will conclude its spring practice at Neyland Stadium on Saturday, 4 o'clock Eastern time with its spring game. We touched on quarterbacks, John. Beyond the quarterback spot, what should Tennessee fans be looking for in this spring game, do you think?
I just hope that nobody gets hurt. If a linebacker makes a tackle every now and then, that would be nice. That's a position of weakness. I do think what they're going to be looking at is the offense. They want to see this offense functioning adequately, and so they can say, boy, this offense is really coming around. That's what Tennessee fans have to tie their hopes to right now. That offense was just a debacle under Jeremy Pruitt, and Tennessee has brought in a guy with offensive expertise. It's kind of a gimmicky offense with the fast acceleration, running in plays as quickly as possible. So they want to see that and see, after a spring, can they avoid penalties? Can they get lined up and just how this works? I also think the running backs, because you've lost Eric Gray, who from what I've read is doing very well this spring at Oklahoma. You lost Ty Chandler. And so hopefully our guy that we've talked about many times on this podcast, Tyon Edwards, could impress some fans.
Yeah, I agree, John, that the offensive system is, I think it's going to kind of take center stage on Saturday. People, you know, you hear so much about this offense, and it's almost like when the circus is coming to town, you want to show up and see like the lions and tigers and the bearded lady and whatever. It's like, let's see what this is all about. First chance to get a look at it. And, you know, overall, I don't know that it'll exactly be what the offense will be in the fall. I imagine they're not probably going to operate at the tempo they will come fall. But still, it'll be a little bit of the curtain lifting on that offense. Linebackers, I'm curious to see how Morvin Joseph looks as a middle linebacker. I think he has to be someone who really elevates his game this year because, as you mentioned, Tennessee just doesn't, they don't have many middle linebackers, period, in terms of numbers. And then in terms of talent, certainly there's question mark there. Curious to see where Cade Mays lines up. You know, I know he's been moving around throughout the spring. I think mostly he's been playing tackles. So I'll be curious to see where they line him up. And then you touched on the running backs. With Tyon Evans has been banged up a little bit throughout the spring, so I hope we get to see him on Saturday with as much as we have placed on him in terms of expectations. And he does really look good physically in terms of his, you know, I saw him out there in open practice. This guy looks like an SEC running back. So hopefully he's able to take some reps on Saturday. And I'd be curious to see Jabari Small and Dee Beckwith too in a little bit bigger role at running back. But overall, John, I know you're not one that likes to read too much into spring games, correct? You're a little wary of overanalyzing the performance of a spring scrimmage. Is that right?
Very much so. I mean, I go back to even when I was in college 100 years ago, you could see players that would star in spring and never hear from them again. And I think with a new coach coming in, the emphasis on the spring game is amplified. It's even bigger because we don't have anything really. We don't know what this team will be like. We don't know what this offense would be like. And we're really, I mean, I'm contributing as much as anyone else to the warp speed offense. But let's face it, a lot of teams run plays pretty quickly. And it's not as though Nick Saban will sit over there, oh my gosh, these guys are running plays too quickly. I give up. We can't stop that offense. It's really just kind of gimmicky, and it's something to talk about and write about. But we don't know how this will do. I mean, a lot of teams run pace. They'll run really fast, slow it down, change up, which I think is good. The thing about his offense, it's run faster than most. And this is something that fans can grab a hold of and think, oh my gosh, we've got something maybe that somebody else doesn't have, particularly in light of how bad the offense has been, how bad it was under Jeremy Pruitt. Just the idea that this could be different, I think gets fans excited, which is understandable. And the other position that I would be curious about, since it's in keeping with the offensive theme, are the wide receivers. I think Tennessee has some potential at wide receiver. I really do. I was disappointed that we didn't see more of these young wide receivers last season. That's a cause for optimism, is how much these wide receivers could progress from last year to this year.
All right, John, I'm going to let you get back to your vacation, but I really appreciate you joining us and breaking down this transfer, this expected transfer, I should say. Hasn't been announced yet, not been finalized, but the expected addition of transfer quarterback Joe Milton. So get back to relaxing, John, okay?
All right, Blake. Maybe we'll have another quarterback transfer to talk about next week.
Oh, that sounds good. All right, thanks for listening to this edition of the Volunteer State.